would have been as appropriately addressed to his bedstead. But nonetheless, having formed the habit, it had become in some way helpful that I should register and interject. If I irritated him by a certain methodical slowness in my mentality, that irritation served only to make his own flame-like intuitions and impressions flash up the more vividly and swiftly. Such was my humble role in our alliance. When I arrived at Baker Street, I found him huddled up in his armchair with updrawn knees, his pipe in his mouth, and his brow furrowed with thought. It was clear that he was in the throes of some vexatious problem. With a wave of his hand, he indicated my old armchair, but otherwise for half an hour he gave no sign that he was aware of my presence. Then, with a start, he seemed to come from his reverie, and with his usual whimsical smile he greeted me back to what had once been my home. "You will excuse a certain abstraction of mine, my dear Watson," said he. "Some curious facts have been submitted to me within the last 24 hours, and they in turn have given rise to some speculations of a more general character. I have serious thoughts of writing a small monograph upon the uses of dogs in the work of the detective." "But surely, Holmes, this has been explored," said I. "Bloodhounds, sleuthhounds." "No, no, Watson, that side of the matter is, of course, obvious. But there is another which is..."